This is truly a rare opportunity for me as a John Deere design engineer to be here representing not only our company, but actually a whole team of folks that are back at our engineering center in Des Moines, Iowa, folks that are dedicated to making the new 7760 cotton picker a reality. And I guess this is a project, as you can imagine, that has really totally consumed our group of engineers back there for quite some time. And I think at this point, I can safely say that it's proven to be more technically complicated. It's certainly proven to be more exciting, and I mean that in a good way. And I think it's also got the potential to have a bigger impact on the whole industry than probably any project that we've tackled in cotton engineering in quite some time. And I can certainly say that's true for the projects that I've been involved with in my 32 years as a design engineer at John Deere. That's what makes it so exciting to be a part of this, this whole project right now, I think. I don't think I need to spend very much time telling this audience what's going on in this picture right here. Basically, that represents all of the equipment, all the manpower and labor, all the logistics and management, and the inefficiencies as well as the efficiencies of the cotton harvest today in getting cotton from the plant to the lint bale. And I think many of you in the room are probably involved in that value chain somewhere, and most people that are, I think, have recognized by now that maybe there is a better way. And I think in a nutshell, that's probably a good way to summarize some of the initial inspiration for the 7760 is a better way, okay? Before we ever laid the line down on paper for the 7760, we talked to folks from all aspects of this value chain, and we got a lot of input from them. And basically what we heard from them loud and clear is that give us a solution that will help us reduce our labor, reduce our assets, increase our productivity and our flexibility, and also that'll help preserve the fiber quality. In other words, the whole process from field to lint bale. And if we can do that, come up with a solution in that kind of a context, that will really help make us more productive, more efficient, and more competitive in the world market. And really, I think that's the challenge that was laid down on the engineering drawing board, and that's the challenge that we as engineers took up at the beginning of this program, to look at the whole process. And so if you really, I guess my intention here is not to lay a whole bunch of technical facts about the 7760 on you, but rather to give you a little insight into, you know, what were we thinking anyhow? How did we get to what we came up with? Why is the 7760 what it is? And to start with, in order to understand that, I think you really need to understand that we took a broad systems approach to this problem, okay? For the past 50 years, John Deere's been really focused on the center of that picture, okay, the harvest point, all right? But this time, we took a lot broader look. We looked at the handling, we looked at the transporting, all the way to the lint bale, okay? That's really what defined our problem. There's been a lot of talk about the shape, and I figured we might as well just jump in right there and talk a little bit about the round shape, okay? I can tell you that before we started, we looked at lots of different shapes, square, round, and everything in between. But we ended up at round, and I'll give you a little insight into why that is. As the engineers were looking at the cotton picker itself and asking ourselves, what can we do to make the cotton picker more efficient, okay? We didn't have to look too long before it was obvious that a surefire way to make the cotton picker more efficient is to eliminate as many of the reasons as we could for a cotton picker not to be picking cotton. Okay? We called it nonstop harvest, and that became a focus for the goal of our project, to achieve nonstop harvest. And as the slide indicates, the round shape really was probably the key enabler that allowed us to get to nonstop harvest and all the productivity enhancement that goes along with that. The other thing that attracted us to the round shape was the fact that it tends to shed water better, okay? And at the same time, it also lends itself to covering it with something. At that time, we didn't know necessarily yet what that something was going to be, but we could cover it and we could do it automatically. We could do it with the machine. And most importantly, we were pretty convinced that we could do it with no investment in time and no investment in labor. So that made the round another reason why it was really attractive to us. I have a little animation that I want to show you that really does a good job, I think, of demonstrating what we're talking about here by nonstop harvest and the benefits of it. Before I do that, I just want to point out something. If my mouse will let me, when you guys that are familiar with ag machines, you look at the machine, you can pick out generally the module baler or the baler real easy. But I want to pick out this right here too, because it's an important part of the system. We call that the accumulator, but basically it's a mini basket. Alan mentioned it in his comments. The cotton that's coming from the plants doesn't go directly to the baler, it goes to the accumulator. And the baler doesn't get cotton fed into it until the accumulator is filled, and we feed it out of the accumulator. It's important to realize that before I start this animation, then we'll talk our way through it. At this point now, the cotton is coming into the accumulator, and nothing's happening behind there. The baler is off, okay? And as the accumulator fills, now you can see the cotton feeding in, a bale starting to form in the bale chamber, all right? That process goes on several times, and the bale grows. Now, those of you in the audience that have a little engineer in you, you're probably ahead of me already on this, but if you start thinking, at some point, this bale is going to have to be wrapped, right? And what do you think we want to have happen? We want to have that accumulator be as empty as it can be when we go into that wrap cycle. And the idea being then we've got some place to store that cotton while it's being wrapped. And you're going to see that happen here in just a minute. Let's watch and see what happens now. Cotton is feeding out of the accumulator into the bale. The bale hits that target size, which is about 7.5 feet in diameter. And now the wrap sequence is initiating. The wrap's going on, and the cotton is filling the accumulator. When the wrap is completed, the gate opens, the bale is ejected out onto the handler. The gate closes again. And as the accumulator fills, it starts feeding the bale again. And the thing about that whole process, all that happened, and the picker never stopped picking cotton. That's a huge increase in productivity. The round shape and the accumulator together is what it allowed us to accomplish that. Once you've got the round bales made and you've got them on the turn row, flexibility is the key to the round package, okay? It's real easy to move them. You can, as Alan mentioned, you can move them to high ground if you have to. You can stage them to be picked up, or you can load them right onto a flatbed trailer. The key is it's flexible, and you can do it when it's convenient, basically. And then we get to the transportation link in this value chain. And we address that, too. And as the slide over on the far side on the right shows, a conventional module truck that's modified, the chain bed is modified slightly to be less aggressive, it works fine. We've transported literally hundreds of round modules that way, and it works fine. But if you think about the asset side in this value chain, do you really need that expensive asset that has such a short annual use period? Some of our test cooperators have found that a semi and a flatbed trailer works really well too, and it has some real advantages to it. And again, the key here, I think, is flexibility. Okay, you can use either one, whichever one works for you. And not only that, but you also have the added a possibility, at least, of taking out some of those expensive assets from this value chain that we've been talking about from field to lint bale. I already mentioned that the round shape sheds water, and the wrap tends to help us protect the fiber, and that's true. And I just wanted to point out one other thing here. This is a scene that's not too terribly uncommon during harvest once in a while. We got a little ponding going on where those modules are sitting. And what I wanted to mention is that there is what we call a cover edge on that round module. And the cover edge extends over the side of the module. And the idea there is there can be water sitting there and the fiber is still protected. And not only that, but when we come back and we move those round modules out of that area that's less than ideal, we tend to not have any waste at all, basically. Very, very little waste. And of course, less waste is translates to more cotton and eventually more revenue. And then lastly, we've made it to the gin now. And there's another piece here that's important to be aware of as well. And Alan kind of alluded to it too. But we put a lot of engineering energy into making sure that our round modules are as uniform as we can get them. Uniform in size, uniform in density, and also, as Alan mentioned, they tend to be very uniform in moisture as well. And so what we've seen in our ginning trials is that you take those three things, and that tends to be very beneficial to the ginning process. And obviously, I'm not a ginner, and we have some ginning experts on the panel here this afternoon, so I'm as anxious as I'm sure you guys are to hear their comments about how the ginning of round modules went for them. All right, that's a very, I guess, quick summary of a very complicated machine. And I think, you know, from a strictly an engineering standpoint, in my totally unbiased opinion, I'd have to say that the 7760 is a really an awesome machine. And all you have to do is see it out there in the field, blowing and going and making round modules and never, ever stopping. And it's a sight to behold, okay? But I guess hopefully the message that I'm leaving with you this afternoon provides you a little more insight into the underlying engineering reasons of why we did what we did, okay? We think it's truly a broad-based solution that benefits all segments of that value chain that we've been talking about. And in the process, we were able to achieve nonstop harvest, flexible handling options, more consistent ginning, and the opportunity to better preserve fiber quality. So again, that's a very quick look. Before I finish up, I just want to put in a plug for a couple of my colleagues. If you're interested in hearing more about the 7760, Jamie Flood, our cotton marketing manager, will be talking at 11:20 tomorrow, I think. And his title of his presentation is called The Shape of Nonstop Harvest. And then on Friday afternoon at 1:30, Jason Wattenville, who's our 7760 program manager, he'll be talking more on the engineering challenges associated with achieving nonstop harvest. So I guess that really concludes my remarks, and I thank you very much.
We do just have a little bit of time for questions. For Dave, and we've got one there in the back. Emerson?
The question is, how long does it take to load the wrap in the harvester? And as Alan mentioned, you can put five rolls of wrap in there. Each roll has about 20 portions on it, so that's enough for 100 modules. And I guess, Alan, you've done it more than I have. How long does it take you to load that machine up in the morning? Alan, the answer that Alan gave was roughly about 90 seconds a roll, so minute and a half, 2 minutes per roll times five. So you're looking at 15 minutes, 20 minutes by the time you're getting it around. Yes.
Do I need to repeat that question?
Well, yeah, I guess if you want everybody else to hear it. The question really was, why have we delayed retail sales of the machine, and also when are we going to drop the price of the wrap? And I guess I'll tackle the first one first. Some of you may be aware, some of you may not, that we have decided to delay retail sales. 2008 was already very limited availability production, and the bottom line answer to that question is that the machines that we ran this year, while we were very pleased and we got the crop in, they did not demonstrate the reliability that we set for ourselves as a goal. And so we're going back and we're spending more time to make sure that we get them right. We've set the bar very high, as Alan mentioned, with our 9996, and that's what our customers expect, and we weren't quite there yet. And the price of the wrap, as far as it dropping, I guess I'm not aware that we're going to be dropping the price of the wrap, but I can tell you this, we're very aware that the price of that wrap is an issue for a lot of people, and we're working at ways that we can reduce it as much as possible.
Okay, Dave. William?
The question is, has anybody looked at contamination detection in the accumulator? And I assume you're talking about the accumulator on the machine, so that we could catch it early right there. And I guess the only comment that I would make, that the accumulator is really prior, that would be contamination that we, you have got during the picking operation, but it's prior to any of the onboard wrapping operation. But we certainly are I mean, that's as far as we're concerned, a prerequisite that the contamination issue has to be behind us. And I mean, that, it's not an option to have contamination of any form in the cotton. It's something that we've always been concerned about, whether it's a basket picker or whether it's a module building picker.
Okay, I have one more. Danny had a question over there. The question was.
The question was, how long before we put a round module builder on a cotton stripper? And I guess that all depends on the demand for a product like this in stripper country. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.